Rays of light shoot from a bright glowing torch as a woman wearing a flowing gown holds it above her head. Billowing clouds move behind her as she stands at the top of a pyramid of steps. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Zeppelins glide through the air as a plane speeds past. Bridges lead to an island filled with tall buildings. Centropolis Entertainment. Columbia Pictures presents a Mutual Film Company production. A Centropolis Entertainment production. A hatchet and gunpowder flask are placed inside an ornate wooden box with other personal items.
I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me. And the cost is more than I can bear.
The box is closed and the movie title reads, The Patriot. A male slave picks corn off the stalk, shucks it, and puts it in a basket. He watches as a man rides past on a horse. In the cornfield, a young boy wearing a tricorn hat watches.
Samuel Post Rider!
Another boy stands and watches as the rider continues. A girl is sitting in a chair on a porch holding a flashcard for a smaller boy.
An R.
Good.
What about this one?
The post rider rides toward the large home encircled with a white picket fence. Inside, a female slave takes bread from the oven and sets it on the table. She looks out the window as the rider approaches the house. Samuel and the other boy from the cornfield run toward the house while slaves work in the field. The woman from the kitchen steps onto the porch with the girl and the small boy. The post rider dismounts and walks toward the house. He walks up the steps and gives a small bundle of mail to the woman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He gets back on his horse as the two boys from the field approach. Two older boys carrying their muskets and dead fowl walk out of the trees and stop when they see the rider. They smile and the younger of the two runs toward the house. His tricorn flies off and he continues running. The post rider rides away and the two younger boys run down the road after him. Light fog moves across the fields as they run toward a barn. Inside, a man's using a scale.
9 pounds, 11 ounces. That's perfect, perfect.
They rush inside.
Father, a post rider!
Did you finish planting the south field?
More than half.
Those swimming breaks really cut into the day, don't they?
The father's weighing a chair and looks at them. The younger of the two older boys runs into the kitchen and lays his birds on the table. He rushes into another room and picks up the bundle of mail. The oldest boy enters the kitchen.
Thomas, wait for father.
The oldest boy eats bread as he walks away, and Thomas sets down the mail. In the barn, tobacco hangs from the rafters as their father takes the rocking chair off the scale and sets it down. A male slave hanging tobacco and a very small blonde girl watch him closely. Samuel and his brother watch as their father slowly lowers himself into the chair. He smiles at the little girl. Wood shavings cover the floor, and he gently rocks. He grins, and the chair breaks. He falls to the floor. The slave turns away, laughing. Samuel's brother pulls him away from the doorway. The little girl watches as her father scrambles to his feet. He picks up the seat of the chair and throws it into a large pile of broken chairs. He looks at the girl, and she shakes her head. He throws the broken legs. Later outside, the screen reads, South Carolina, 1776. The father walks to a large tree that has a white picket fence around it. He opens the gate and steps inside as the setting sun glows against the horizon. He picks up a broken limb lying on a grave and throws it outside the fence. He gazes at the headstone, which reads, "In memory of Elizabeth Putnam Martin, who departed this life February the 19th AD, 1773, in the 35th year of her age." The star design fades away as the North Star shines in the sky.
That's her. North Star. See? You start from the front two stars of the Big Dipper. And then you count up five finger lengths. And it's right there.
The two girls are looking out their bedroom window.
And she'll always be looking down on us.
Their father opens the door.
And protect us. Forever.
They see him. They climb into bed. He sits on the side of the bed and looks at the little girl.
Good night.
He looks at the older girl.
Good night, Meg.
She smiles.
It helps her to know Mother's there.
He nods.
Good night.
As he leaves, he looks back at them, then shuts the door. Thomas is lying on the floor in front of the fireplace, positioning small toy soldiers into battle formation. He watches as his father enters the other room and starts to pick up the bundle of mail. He steps away and the oldest son and Thomas exchange glances. He goes to the window.
So what was in the mail?
They run into the other room and the oldest son grabs the mail. Their father sits at a desk and reads a letter. The oldest son scans a paper that lists the names of men from Charlestown. He folds the paper and looks at his father.
Peter Cuppen joined the Continentals.
Thomas looks at him, then glances at his father.
He's 17, a year younger than I.
His father glances up from the letter.
Well, the assembly's been convened, so I've been called to
Charlestown. We're going to Charlestown?
We are. We leave in the morning.
Later, the sun is shining as a buggy and carriage drive to Charlestown. The oldest son rides a horse behind them. Sailing ships dot the harbor. The oldest son smiles, then urges his horse onward.
Yeah.
The youngest son is riding in the buggy with his father as Thomas drives the carriage containing the slave woman, the two daughters, and the two other sons. They drive on a street along the dock. The woman and children stare in amazement at men working on the huge mass of the ship lining the dock. Later, some of the children race up the steps of an elegant house.
It's Charlie!
It's Charlie! It's Charlie!
Margaret! Look at you! They're huge. What have you been feeding them?
Well, they're from good stock. On their mother's side, of course.
Thank you. Come inside. Wait until you see what I have.
Move slowly. You two, keep an eye on these heathens, will you?
Thomas!
Their father is pushed against Aunt Charlotte.
Sorry.
The woman is standing nearby holding the younger daughter, and Charlotte approaches her.
I have this for you, Susan. It belonged to your mother.
She gives Susan a doll, and the woman carries her inside.
She's still not talking?
No.
He studies Charlotte.
It does me good to see you.
Later, the street is filled with people, and torches glow in the twilight. Some have gathered around a bonfire. The oldest son walks along the dock where a hefty man is addressing a crowd.
My name is Peter Howard. I lost most of my hearing and my left leg fighting for the crown in the French and Indian War. And how did King George reward me? He cuts off my other leg with his taxes.
The son approaches a young woman.
Miss Howard, isn't it?
He tips his hat to an older woman.
You know who I am, Gabriel Martin. The last time you saw me, I was 11, and you put ink in my tea.
Oh, I believe that was one of my younger brothers, perhaps Samuel or Nathan.
It was you, and it turned my teeth black for a month.
Yeah.
They watch Mr. Howard.
And send a message to King George. He will never forget.
Sun streams into the assembly hall.
Order, order. Our first order of business will be an address by Colonel Harry Burwell of the Continental Army.
Colonel Burwell steps forward. Mr. Martin, Gabriel, and Thomas listen.
You all know why I'm here. I'm not an orator. And I would not try to convince you of the worthiness of our cause. I'm a soldier. And we are at war. From Philadelphia, we expect a declaration of independence. 8 of the 13 colonies have levied money in support of a Continental Army. I ask that South Carolina be the 9th.
Massachusetts and Virginia may be at war, but South Carolina is not.
Hear, hear!
This is not a war for the independence of one or two colonies, but for the independence of one nation.
And, yes, what nation is that?
An American nation.
Hear, hear!
There is no such nation, and to speak of one is treason.
Well, we are citizens of an American nation, and our rights are being threatened by a tyrant 3,000 miles away.
Would you tell me, please, Mr. Howard, why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away?
Gabriel and Thomas exchange glances, and Charlotte listens.
An elected legislature can trample a man's rights as easily as a king can.
Colonel Burwell watches him.
I understood you to be patriot.
If you mean by patriot, am I angry about taxation without representation? Well, yes, I am. Should the American colonies govern themselves independently? I believe they can, and they should. But if you're asking me, am I willing to go to war with England? Well, then the answer is most definitely no.
Gabriel and Thomas listen, and a man in the assembly stands.
This from the same Captain Benjamin Martin, whose fury was so famous during the Wilderness Campaign?
I was intemperate in my youth.
Temperance can be a convenient disguise for fear.
Mr. Middleton, I fought with Captain Martin under Washington in the French and Indian War. There's not a man in this room, or anywhere for that matter, to whom I would more willingly trust my life.
Hear, hear!
There are alternatives to war. We take our case before the king. We plead with him.
Yes, we've tried that.
Well, then we try again and again, if necessary, to avoid a war.
Benjamin, I was at Bunker Hill. The British advanced 3 times. And we killed over 700 of them at point-blank range, and still they took the ground. That is the measure of their resolve. If your principles dictate independence, then war is the only way. It has come to that.
I have 7 children. My wife is dead. Now, who's to care for them if I go to war?
Charlotte lowers her eyes.
Wars are not fought only by childless men.
Granted.
Benjamin stares at the floor, then looks at Colonel Burwell.
But mark my words. This war will be fought not on the frontier or on some distant battlefield, but amongst us, among our homes. Our children will learn of it with their own eyes. And the innocent will die with the rest of us. I will not fight. And because I will not fight, I will not cast a vote that will send others to fight in my stead.
He turns away.
And your principles?
He turns and glances around.
I'm a parent. I haven't got the luxury of principles.
He sits, and Gabriel leaves. Thomas starts to follow, but Charlotte stops him.
You must hold the levy!
Benjamin glances at Charlotte. Outside, several men are standing around as Gabriel paces. The door opens to the assembly hall. A boy runs outside and cups his mouth with his hands.
28-12, the levy passed!
Guns fire and men toss their hats into the air. Gabriel smiles, then gets in line at a table where 2 Continental soldiers are enlisting men. Benjamin puts on his tricorn as he steps outside. A man frowns at him, and he walks away.
Respectfully.
Others watch as he walks down the steps. Gabriel glances at him as he approaches.
Do you intend to enlist without my permission?
Yes, I do.
They stare at each other. Then Gabriel glances away.
Father, I thought you were a man of principle.
When you have a family of your own, perhaps you'll understand.
Charlotte and Thomas watch them.
When I have a family of my own, I won't hide behind them.
Benjamin watches as Gabriel steps up to the table and enlists. Colonel Burwell approaches and watches.
He's as imprudent as his father was at his age.
Regrettably so.
I'll see to it that he serves under me. Make him a clerk or quartermaster, something of that sort.
Good luck.
Gabriel turns and looks at them. Benjamin walks away and Charlotte and Thomas follow. The coiled serpent flag is raised on the tower flagpole. Time passes and the number of ships in the harbor dwindles. The British flag once again waves on the tower pole and British soldiers march down the street.
Dear Thomas, though many seasons have passed, it seems like only yesterday when we last saw each other in Charlestown. It was with great sadness that I learned of its recent fall to the British under General Cornwallis.
Cornwallis leaves the assembly hall. A caravan of people is leaving Charlestown.
I received a letter from Aunt Charlotte telling me she had closed her home in Charlestown after the city fell and moved to her plantation on the Santee.
Charlotte arrives at her plantation. Later, it's snowing and Gabriel's wearing a blue Continental uniform. He and the other soldiers raise their muskets as they face the British on a battlefield.
Here in the north, our campaign has been marked by defeat and privation. Our losses have been grievous.
The British shoot and many Continental soldiers fall. The young soldier beside Gabriel collapses.
My good friend, Peter Cuppen, fell at Elizabethtown.
Dead soldiers are covered in snow.
His death has been difficult to bear.
Gabriel is sitting in the snow as he writes. He watches as General George Washington rides through the camp. Other soldiers are huddled around a campfire.
We are told that Sumer will march south with General Gates to fight the Redcoats under Cornwallis.
Gabriel enters Colonel Burwell's tent and is given a leather pouch.
Thank you, sir.
Burwell nods.
I envy you. Your youth and your distance from this cruel conflict
in which I am a part.
Thomas is reading Gabriel's letter.
But I consider myself fortunate to be serving the cause of liberty.
Benjamin approaches.
And though I fear death, each day in prayer I reaffirm my willingness, if necessary, to give my life in its service.
The children listen and Benjamin stops on the porch.
Pray for me. But above all, pray for the cause. Your loving brother Gabriel.
Benjamin goes inside the house and Thomas carefully folds the letter. Inside, the ornate wooden box is opened, and the hatchet is removed. Thomas looks closely at its markings. He smiles, then picks up the red uniform. He puts it on and looks at his reflection in the full-length mirror. Benjamin enters the room and watches as Thomas looks at himself. He turns to Benjamin.
What are you doing?
He shrugs. Benjamin steps forward and takes the hatchet and jacket from him.
That's it, Thomas.
He tosses down the jacket.
When? That's 2 years. It's already been two. The war could be over by then.
Oh, God willing.
Thomas glances away, then stares at him.
All right. 17.
All right.
They shake hands. Benjamin looks toward the bed.
Put it back, please.
He leaves and Thomas picks up the jacket.
Father?
Benjamin turns in the doorway.
What happened at Fort Wilderness?
put it away.
He leaves. A light fog blankets the fields around the Martin estate, and smoke billows from the chimney. A soldier with his pistol drawn cautiously moves toward the house. His bloodied hand turns the doorknob, and he shuffles his feet as he walks inside. With the pistol hanging at his side, he slowly walks toward the kitchen where the children are eating. Benjamin approaches from behind and points a pistol at him. The children look toward the doorway.
Slowly turn.
Gabriel turns.
Father.
Benjamin rushes forward and catches him as he collapses.
Abigail!
Water and bandages, fast.
He helps Gabriel to another room and lays him down. Thomas rushes into the room.
What's the battle? Were you there?
Have you seen any redcoats?
No, not yet. Abigail, the children, please.
Children, come, upstairs.
Benjamin rips open Gabriel's shirt and Thomas stops on the stairway and watches.
Gates marches straight at the redcoats. Our lines broke and the British Green Dragoons cut us to bits. I was given these dispatches. As I left, I saw the Virginia regulars surrender. The Dragoons rode into them. Killed them all. Over 200 men. I have to get these dispatches to Hillsborough.
You're in no condition to ride.
I can't stay here. It's not safer.
Benjamin picks up his pistol. Meg and Susan look out their window into the dusk. The fog is thicker near the woods where light flashes from cannons. Soldiers shoot as they run. Samuel and the older brother watch with their sisters. Benjamin is holding his pistol as he goes to the open front door and steps onto the porch. He watches the soldiers battle in a field in front of his house. The redcoats shoot, and Continental soldiers fall. Thomas steps into the doorway and watches. The redcoats continue shooting, and more Continental soldiers fall. Later, the sun is shining as Gabriel steps out onto the porch, where wounded British and Continental soldiers are lying side by side. Slaves tend to their wounds. Redcoats with their bayonet muskets march through the cornfield toward the house. The fields are overrun with redcoats. Benjamin is kneeling beside a wounded soldier and looks toward the approaching army. Gabriel watches them approach the house. Benjamin steps forward as a British officer stops behind Gabriel. He approaches Benjamin.
Thank you for the care of His Majesty's soldiers.
Benjamin nods. They watch as another group of redcoats wearing tall black hats approach on horseback. Gabriel, Thomas, and Samuel watch. The leader of the Dragoon cavalry holds up his hand and they stop. The officer on the porch quickly approaches and tips his tricorn.
Lieutenant, have a detachment take our wounded to our surgeons at Winsborough.
Yes, sir.
The Dragoon officer looks toward the house.
Fire the house and bombs.
Thomas and Samuel look at Benjamin.
Let it be known, if you harbor the enemy, you will lose your head.
A soldier approaches the Dragoon officer.
Rebel dispatches, sir.
He looks through Gabriel's pouch.
Who carried this?
Gabriel looks at Benjamin, and the lieutenant steps forward and glances toward the house.
Who carried this?
I did, sir.
Gabriel puts on his jacket as he steps forward.
I was wounded. These people gave me care. They have nothing to do with the dispatches.
Benjamin steps forward.
Take this one to Camden. Here's a spy. Hang him, put his body on display.
He's a dispatch rider, and that's a marked case.
Destroy the livestock. Save the horses for the dragoons.
Colonel, this is a uniformed dispatch rider and carrying a marked case. He cannot be held as a spy.
Well, we're not going to hold him. We're going to hang him.
Thomas steps forward.
Colonel.
Father. Oh, I see. It's your son. Well, perhaps you should have taught him something of loyalty.
Colonel, I beg you, please reconsider. By the rules of war...
The rules of war. Would you like a lesson, sir, in the rules of war?
The colonel aims his pistol at Benjamin.
Or perhaps your children will.
He aims at the children and Benjamin runs in front of them with his arms outstretched.
No lesson is necessary.
The colonel lowers his pistol.
Sir, what of the rebel wounded?
Kill them.
The lieutenant's eyes widen and two redcoats lead Gabriel away.
Father, do something.
Be quiet.
Benjamin turns to the children, and Thomas watches the soldiers tie Gabriel's hands. He runs toward them, and Benjamin turns as he knocks over one of the soldiers.
Gabriel, run!
Thomas!
The colonel shoots Thomas, and Gabriel watches him collapse. Benjamin takes him in his arms.
Thomas!
Gabriel is led away as Benjamin lays Thomas across his lap. Meg rushes forward and Gabriel stares back at Thomas. Benjamin stares up at the colonel.
Stupid boy.
Benjamin looks down at Thomas.
Captain?
The dragoons ride away, and the children rush forward.
Thomas!
Meg stares at him and cries. Thomas grips Benjamin's hand as he looks up at his father. Benjamin touches Thomas's face, and it slowly relaxes. He blinks, then his eyes close. Gabriel is being led away behind a wagon, but his head is turned as he watches Thomas. The outbuilding and house are ablaze. Torches are thrown through the windows. Abigail hugs Susan.
Abigail!
The redcoats drag Abigail away. Benjamin watches as the wounded Continental soldiers are executed on the ground in front of his home. The children watch as others are shot on the porch. Meg holds her little brother as the lieutenant regretfully watches. The colonel looks toward the carnage, then rides away with his dragoons as black smoke billows from the house. As the slaves are led away, Abigail sadly looks back. Benjamin gently lays Thomas on the ground as the other children watch. Thomas's toy soldiers have spilled from their bag and are lying beside him.
All of you stay here.
The older boy watches Benjamin run into the burning house. He runs upstairs and into his bedroom. The children anxiously watch the burning house. Benjamin takes two pouches, two pistols, and his hatchet from the wooden box. He comes out of the house, also holding some muskets.
Nathan, Samuel.
The boys step forward and each takes a musket.
Margaret. I want you to hide in the fields with William and Susan. If we're not back by sunset, I want you to take them to your Aunt Charlotte's. Is that clear?
Meg nods.
Boys.
Nathan and Samuel exchange glances, then rush after Benjamin. Meg watches them run through the fields as the house burns behind her. Benjamin and the boys run through the woods. They jump over a fallen log and continue running through the woods. They stop and crouch behind another fallen log.
It's a good spot. Boys, listen to me. I'll fire first. I want you two to start with the officers and work your way down. Can you tell the difference?
Yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
Good. Samuel, after your first shot, I want you to reload for your brother Nathan.
Samuel nods.
Now, if anything should happen to me, I want you two to drop your weapons and I want you to run as quickly as you can. Now you hide in the brush, make your way home, get your brother and your sisters, and you take them to your Aunt Charlotte's. Understood?
Samuel's lip trembles and he nods again.
What did I tell you fellas about shooting?
Aim small, miss small.
Aim small, miss small. Boys, Samuel, steady.
Benjamin moves away and leans a musket against a tree. The redcoats are coming down the road through the trees. He rushes along the hillside, and Nathan watches him lean a second musket against another tree. He watches Gabriel walking behind the wagon, followed by British soldiers. Hidden on the hillside, Nathan and Samuel watch them move slowly below them. An officer is riding his horse in the lead, and Benjamin is hiding behind a tree, clutching his musket. Nathan and Samuel cock their muskets and look toward him. Benjamin looks upward.
Lord, make me fast and accurate.
Aim small.
The boys are aiming at the soldiers. Benjamin slowly moves into position at the base of the tree as he aims at the lead officer. He falls. The soldiers look up the hillside as Benjamin runs. Nathan shoots the lieutenant, and Samuel shoots a soldier. They duck, and the soldiers return fire.
Come right!
Gabriel tries to untie his hands.
To the right!
Benjamin reloads. He shoots a soldier, then runs to another tree.
Sergeant!
To the rear!
A soldier aims.
To the right!
And Nathan shoots him.
Fire!
Soldiers shoot toward Benjamin. He aims his musket as a soldier frantically tries to reload, then shoots him. Benjamin runs back and ducks for cover as the soldiers shoot. He reloads and runs again. Nathan shoots another soldier, and they aim toward him. Benjamin steps out and they shoot at him. Nathan shoots another soldier. Benjamin has a knife in his right hand and his hatchet in his left hand as he runs down the hill. The soldier aims and Gabriel knocks him over. Benjamin slashes at one soldier as Gabriel struggles with another. Yet another soldier attacks Benjamin. Nathan shoots a soldier. Samuel peeks over the log, then he and Nathan quickly duck. Benjamin knocks down a soldier. He hits another's musket, which fires and shoots a soldier, knocking him down into the creek. Nathan watches as Benjamin attacks the remaining soldiers. His shirt is covered with blood. A soldier holds a knife to Gabriel's throat as two soldiers rush forward. Benjamin hits one with his hatchet, then takes his musket and shoots the other. He drops the musket and holds his hatchet as he stares at the soldier who's holding Gabriel. Samuel and Nathan watch as he throws the hatchet. The soldier collapses and Samuel cries. A soldier runs away and Benjamin rushes forward and gets his hatchet. Gabriel watches as he runs after the soldier who glances back. Benjamin throws the hatchet into his back and the soldier falls into the creek. He pulls out the hatchet as Nathan runs down the hill. Samuel watches as Benjamin hacks away at the soldier. Nathan unties Gabriel and Samuel steps forward and watches his father. Gabriel and Nathan watch as mud splatters Benjamin. He stares down at the soldier. Gabriel's neck is bleeding and he lowers his eyes. Samuel and Nathan stare at their father as he looks heavenward and mouths the words, "Help me." He turns and looks at his sons, who are staring at him. Sunlight shines through the trees. He looks down at the dead soldiers as he walks away. Many white tents stand in a row in a British camp. Inside a tent, a wounded soldier's lying on a stretcher.
It was Matt. I couldn't really tell you who it was.
Calm down. Now, 20 of His Majesty's soldiers are dead, and I need to know how.
He said there was...
Were you there? Then let him speak. Take your time and tell me, how many were there? Were they militia? Were they regulars?
Don't really remember how many.
He looks at the dragoon colonel.
Maybe one.
The colonel straightens.
One man. Really?
He was on the flank. All around us. Amongst us. I could barely see him. He was there and then he was gone.
Well, he just vanished. Sounds more like a ghost than a man.
Yes. A ghost. He was like a ghost.
Enough. Borden, take a patrol. See if we can't capture this ghost before word of his exploits spread. Who's this?
Sir, this is Captain Wilkins. He was with the Loyalist Colonial Militia. I thought he might be of some use.
Tell me, Captain Wilkins, where do your loyalties lie?
To king and country, sir.
Why should I trust a man who betrays his neighbors?
Well, those neighbors of mine who stand against England deserve to die a traitor's death,
We'll see.
Benjamin and the children ride onto Charlotte's plantation, and a slave approaches their wagon.
It's Mr. Martin!
He drives on past, and the slave follows. Gabriel's riding a horse alongside the wagon. Charlotte rushes out onto the upstairs balcony. Later, Meg and Susan are in bed.
Good night. Good night. Father.
Yes?
Charlotte looks across the hall.
I killed those men.
You did what I told you to do. You did what you had to. There was no wrong in it.
Nathan staring at the ceiling.
I'm glad I killed them.
He looks at Benjamin.
I'm glad.
He stares back at the ceiling, and Benjamin glances away as he tucks him into bed.
Get some rest.
Later, Gabriel's cleaned up when he steps into a room where Benjamin is sitting in a chair. Charlotte sets down a tray and stands behind him.
Gates and the Continental Army are at Hillsborough. I'm joining up with them.
Benjamin turns to him.
Gabriel.
He steps toward him.
No. Your place is here now.
I'm going back. I'm a soldier. It's my duty.
Your duty is to your family.
Gabriel walks away, and he follows.
Don't you walk away from me, boy.
I'm sorry, Father. I'll find you when this is all over.
No, you're not going. I forbid you to go.
I'm not a child. You're my child.
They stare at each other.
Goodbye, Father.
Gabriel walks out of the house.
Gabriel!
He stops on the steps.
Thomas is dead. How many more have to die before you'll heed my word?
He stares at Benjamin, puts on his tricorn, then goes to his horse. William, Meg, and Susan watch from the upstairs balcony as he rides away. Charlotte touches Benjamin's arm.
I'm losing my family.
He walks away. Later, the sun is shining.
Nathan, I want you to take care of your brothers and sisters and your Aunt Charlotte. I'm dependent on you.
They shake hands.
As I am on you, Samuel.
They shake hands, then he picks up Susan.
Susan?
They look at each other.
Goodbye.
He studies her, then kisses her forehead. He sets her down and steps closer to Charlotte.
Thank you.
She nods. He looks at the children, then goes to his horse. A slave gives him his musket. Charlotte steps forward and watches him ride away. Susan stares after him. Gabriel is riding past a mansion. He pulls his horse to a stop as a man driving a wagon races out of the driveway, spilling contents as he turns onto the road. Gabriel looks at the scattered belongings on the steps and in the yard. He cautiously enters the ransacked house and removes his hat. He goes upstairs. He slowly walks across one of the bedrooms and looks out the window. Cannons are blasting in the field across the road from the mansion. He stares as the Continental Army and Redcoats advance toward each other in the open field. Sunlight glares off the bayonets on their muskets. The British band is playing as it marches forward carrying various British flags. The armies continue marching toward each other as cannonballs blast the ground between them. The armies are getting closer to each other and the cannon blasts continue. The Continental Army stops and the Redcoats continue marching. The front line cocks their muskets. They aim.
Fire!
British soldiers drop to the ground. Gabriel lowers his head and turns away and finds Benjamin standing in the room.
I'm not going back.
No, I didn't expect you would.
Benjamin steps to the window and looks outside.
That Gates is a damn fool. Spent too many years in the British Army. Going muzzle to muzzle with redcoats in open field. It's madness.
Gabriel watches.
Oh!
The redcoats stop.
Make ready!
Make ready!
Present!
Ah! Continental soldiers fall and a cannonball takes out more. A cannonball skips across the ground into more soldiers. And Gabriel lowers his head.
This battle was over before it began.
Benjamin and Gabriel ride past many wounded soldiers as they enter the Continental Army camp. They dismount and look around as soldiers walk past. Benjamin steps away and Gabriel looks down at the ground.
Ranger commanding officer.
He crouches and tenderly picks up a battered colonial flag. A wounded soldier sitting nearby watches him.
It's a lost cause.
Gabriel looks at the tattered, dirty flag, then tucks it into his waistband and walks away. Benjamin enters a tent where Colonel Burwell is sitting at a desk.
Benjamin Martin, I'm in no mood for a lecture.
Where's your General Gates now?
The last anyone saw, riding hard northeast. His staff 100 yards behind, trying to catch up.
So who's in command?
Gabriel enters.
I am. I think.
What are my orders?
He looks surprised.
We're a breath away from losing this war, Benjamin.
They look at a map.
In the north, Washington is reeling from Morristown. In the south, Cornwallis has broken our back. Captured over 5,000 of our troops when he took Charlestown.
And he destroyed the only army between him and New York. So now there's nothing to stop him from heading north to finish off Washington.
Unless we can keep Cornwallis in the south till the French arrive. They promised a fleet and 10,000 troops.
When?
6 months at the earliest.
You actually trust the French to keep their word?
Absolutely.
A French soldier in a pale blue uniform steps forward.
Benjamin Martin, Major Jean Villeneuve, French 7th Lightfoot. He's here to help train the militia.
The hero of Fort Wilderness, your reputation precedes you.
Gabriel listens.
You really expect to hold Cornwallis here using just militia?
Well, not me. You.
Harry, they're not soldiers, they're farmers. They'd be better off letting the British just march through.
They'd be better off, but the cause wouldn't.
How many men does Cornwallis have under his command?
8,000 infantry, around 600 cavalry.
Burwell signs a document.
I'm giving you a field commission as a colonel.
Might I request, sir, that you transfer my son here under my command?
Sir, no, I...
No, that's done.
He takes some papers from Gabriel.
Thank you.
Benjamin and Gabriel walk outside.
Colonel, I've been a soldier now for 2 years. As a scout, horseman, marksman, scavenger.
Is that so?
Yes, sir. I could be of better service with the regulars.
Where'd you learn all that riding, shooting, scavenging?
My father taught me.
They get on their horses.
Teach you any humility?
You tried. It didn't take.
Villeneuve listens.
We'll put the word out. Start on the south side of the Santee, and we'll meet at Old Spanish Mission in Black Swan.
Yes, sir.
Gabriel starts to ride away, and Villeneuve stops beside Benjamin.
And Corporal.
Gabriel stops.
Be careful.
Yes, sir.
He rides away, and Benjamin looks at Villeneuve.
You have children?
He glares at Benjamin, then rides away.
French.
Villeneuve rides through camp, and Benjamin follows him. Four dragoons ride toward a mansion in a fort on top of a hill. Inside, General Cornwallis is pointing to a map.
It skirts the mountain and then extends down towards the headwater here and right across to the far bank of the Ohio River.
The dragoon colonel enters.
It's 100,000 acres.
It's an imposing land grant, my lord. You will be a country unto yourself.
The officer looks at the colonel, then leaves.
His Majesty is most generous, my lord.
Cornwallis glances away.
Though, of course, your service in this war more than warrants such a gift.
Yes, this is how His Majesty rewards those who fight for him as gentlemen.
I dare to presume my own meager contributions will be rewarded one day.
You may presume too much. His Majesty, like history, judges us not only by the outcome of the war, but the manner in which it was fought.
My lord?
We serve the crown, and we must conduct ourselves accordingly. Surrendering troops will be given quarter. These brutal tactics must stop.
Is it not enough, my lord, that I have never lost a battle?
You serve me, and the manner in which you serve me reflects upon me. I would have thought that a gentleman from a family as esteemed as yours would understand that.
My late father squandered any esteem in which we were held, along with my inheritance. I advance myself only through victory.
You advance yourself only through my good graces. Do you understand, Colonel?
Perfectly, my lord.
Gabriel is riding through the countryside and approaches a small town. Two bodies are hanging from a tree and birds fly away as he rides past. The Reverend is standing in an elevated pulpit as Gabriel enters. Anne looks at him and the congregation sits.
Reverend, with your permission, I'd like to make an announcement.
Young man, this is a house of God.
I understand that, Reverend. I apologize. The South Carolina militia is being called up. I'm here to enlist every man willing.
The Reverend steps forward.
Son, we are here to pray for the souls of those men hanging outside.
Yes, pray for them. But honor them by taking up arms with us.
And bring more suffering to this town?
If King George can hang those men, our friends, he can hang any one of us.
Dan Scott, barely a week ago I heard you rail for 2 hours about independence.
Anne stands.
Anne?
Mr. Hardwick, how many times have I heard you speak of freedom at my father's table? Half the men in this church, including you, Father, and you, Reverend, are as ardent patriots as I. Will you now, when you are needed most, stop at only words? Is that the sort of men you are?
A man looks at his teenage son and others lower their heads. Gabriel looks admiringly at Anne.
I ask only that you act upon the beliefs of which you have so strongly spoken and in which you so strongly believe.
She looks at Gabriel, and he smiles and nods.
Who's with us?
Dan Scott touches his wife's hand. Another man looks at his wife, then stands. Gabriel nods. Two more men stand, and Anne looks around the congregation. Two more stand. The father puts his arm around his son's shoulder, and they stand. Another man stands, then his young son stands. Dan Scott stands and nods to Gabriel. Another man stands, and Anne looks at Gabriel. He smiles and nods. Later outside, a man hugs his daughters. Gabriel approaches Anne and her father.
Mr. Howard? Sir, may I have permission to write to Anne? Hey?
Howard puts a horn to his ear.
May I have permission to write Anne?
Yes, you have permission to write me.
Write her?
Yes, sir.
Very well.
Thank you, sir.
The Reverend is carrying a musket.
Reverend?
He stops, turns to his congregation, and removes his wig.
The shepherd must tend his flock.
He puts on a hat.
And at times, fight off the wolves.
Mr. Howard nods. Gabriel rides away with the men, then glances back. Anne steps forward and smiles, and children run after the men. Fog creeps along the ground as two riders stop at a roadside tavern. Villeneuve is wearing civilian clothes as he and Benjamin enter and look around. A hefty barmaid slaps a man's hand.
You sure this is the right place to recruit for a militia?
A man drinking from a mug stares at them. Two others stare.
God save King George!
Most of the men draw their pistols as they stand and glare at him. Benjamin looks at Villeneuve, who shrugs. Benjamin opens the door and they run outside as the men throw food at them. A knife stabs the door.
I think we came to the right place.
Later inside, a man enlists. An older man smoking a pipe steps forward.
They hang my brother down to Ockworth. Every damn one of them redcoats deserves to die.
Sign on up.
With all my ailments, I wouldn't make it through the first skirmish. No, sir. You can have my negro. He fought in my stead.
Occam, get over here.
His slave approaches.
He ain't overly smart. He's strong as a bull.
Can you ride?
No, sir.
Well, then make your mark.
What? I just signed him over to you.
If you're willing, I'd like you to make your mark.
Occam glances at Benjamin, then his master, then marks the enlistment.
That'll do.
He walks away, and a little boy with red curly hair steps forward with a man.
I'd kill me some redcoats.
I believe you would. How old are you, son?
Not quite old enough, but his time will come.
John Billings, I was hoping you'd turn up.
There's a story going around about some 20 redcoats got killed by a ghost or some damn thing. Carried a Cherokee tomahawk.
Villeneuve looks at Benjamin.
Aren't you a little old to be believing in ghost stories?
Billings sets down his bottle. Gabriel and his recruits ride through Black Swamp. A man holding a lantern lights their way onto shore. They look at the tavern recruits already at the old Spanish mission. Gravestones are protruding from the water. Gabriel approaches Benjamin, who's sitting beside a fire next to the water. A cross-shaped gravestone is in the water beside him. Thomas's toy soldiers are lying on its bag. Benjamin takes one from the pile and puts it in a cast iron spoon-like tool with a pour spout. He holds it close to the fire, and the lead toy melts into a shiny pool of liquid. He pours the lead into another tool, then looks at Gabriel.
How many did you get?
12.
Good.
These men, they're not the sort we need.
Billings approaches and sits near Benjamin.
They're exactly the sort we need. They fought this kind of war before.
Benjamin removes a lead shot from the tool and Gabriel walks away.
What about me? Am I one of that sort?
Hell no. You're the sort that gives that sort a bad name.
He snips off a rough spot on the shot. Later, Villeneuve's wearing his French uniform as he trains the militia recruits.
I want accuracy and precision. Make ready!
The redcoats move across a meadow in the rain.
Take aim!
Later, the militiamen are hiding behind bushes in the rain. They take aim at the approaching redcoats.
Fire!
The British soldiers fall to the ground. Later, as redcoats cross a bridge, the militiamen step out from their hiding places and ambush them. Still later, militiamen stand up in a cotton field and ambush another troop of redcoats. Later, the dragoons ride through the cotton field, and the colonel looks at the dead soldiers. General Cornwallis wads a message and throws it on an elegant lawn. A wanted poster offers a reward for the ghost.
Dear Anne, our force continues to grow. As long as we continue to fight, others will come to stand and fight beside us. I long to see you and speak to you. I'm hopeful that our duties will bring me near you. Until then, I am and will remain most affectionately yours, Gabriel.
Anne kisses the letter. The militiamen are hiding in the swamp as the British move along the road. They fire from all around them, and the redcoats scatter. Some of the soldiers run toward a bridge where they confront oncoming militiamen. Some are shot.
Come!
The others turn and run as Gabriel and his men chase after them. Others run, and Benjamin and his men stop them.
No! God, stop! For the love of God, we...
The soldier is shot.
These men were about to surrender!
Benjamin's holding his hatchet and glances at the soldier.
Perhaps we will never know.
This is murder!
Well, Reverend, they're redcoats. They've earned it.
Gabriel and his men face Benjamin and his men.
We are better men than that.
What do you know about war?
I know the difference between fighting for a
cause. You guys don't matter.
No, no, not quiet.
Dan Scott walks away.
He's right. In the future, full quarter will be given to British wounded and any who surrender.
The British men of war gave no such quarter when it fired on a ship carrying my wife and daughters. I watched from 200 yards off, as they were burnt alive.
You have my sympathy, but my order stands.
Damn your sympathy. Who are you to give such an order? I know what you and your men did to my countrymen at Fort Wilderness.
Villeneuve is wearing civilian clothing.
We're militia. This is not regular army. Every man here is free to come and go as he pleases. But while you're here, you will obey my command, or I will have you shot.
Villeneuve stares at him, and Benjamin walks away. Two Great Danes are in the back of the British wagon.
Dog, shoot him! Just shoot the damn thing!
Take that pistol.
They won't let anybody near the wagon.
Benjamin takes Billings' food and throws it. The dogs run after it. The men go through the trunks from the wagon.
It's the personal correspondence of Lord Cornwallis.
Benjamin looks through it.
This is his journal.
I say we drink the wine, eat the dogs, and use the papers for musket lighting.
Eat the dogs?
Yeah, a dog is a fine meal.
Good heavens.
Benjamin looks through the journal. Later at night, the men carry the trunks through the swamp to the old Spanish mission. The dogs are lying down.
I've just been in the mind of a genius.
Benjamin tosses the journal to Billings and takes his bottle.
Lord Cornwallis knows more about warfare than we could hope to learn in a dozen lifetimes.
He drinks.
Well, that's cheerful news.
His victories at Camden and Charlestown were perfect. Perfect.
Gabriel and Occam listen.
And he knows it, what's more. And perhaps that's his weakness.
Sir?
Villeneuve sits at the fire.
Pride.
Gabriel's mending the tattered flag.
Pride's a weakness.
Personally, I would prefer stupidity.
Benjamin looks at Villeneuve and nods.
Right, we'll do.
A crescent moon shines above an elegant bayside estate where many well-dressed people are strolling. A pale woman's wearing a white wig and Captain Wilkins is present. In Cornwallis's room.
Finished, my lord. I've taken it in at the back, added wider epaulets and looped gold braiding.
It's a horse blanket.
Oh, I don't know, my lord. It's really quite nice.
He glances at the dragoon colonel.
Colonel Tavington, why, after 6 weeks, am I still here in Middleton Place attending a ball in South Carolina when I should be attending balls in North Carolina? First, the theft of my personal baggage, including my memoirs, upon which I spent countless hours. Colonel, if you can't protect our supply lines against militia, how do you intend doing so against the colonial regulars or the French when they arrive?
My lord, they won't fight like regulars. We can't find them.
Colonel, they're militia.
Two men are primping him.
They're farmers with pitchforks.
They're rather more than that, I'm afraid, my lord. Made so by the commander, this ghost.
Oh, ghost, ghost, ghost.
He slaps one's hand.
You created this ghost, Colonel.
My lord?
Your brutality has swelled his ranks, without which this ghost would have disappeared and I would be in North Carolina or Virginia by now.
In my defense, my lord.
Oh, enough, enough. Fine soldier, you are bested by a bedtime story. Give me the horse blanket, my lord.
A ship's in the harbor in front of the estate.
General Hara, our supply ship appears to have arrived.
Yes, my lord, it has. Yes.
Then why am I still wearing this rag?
My lord, your replacement wardrobe is aboard ship, but Colonel Tavington thought it best to secure our arms and munitions first. They are being unloaded now.
Tavington approaches as they watch a boat row toward the ship. The militiamen are wearing British uniforms as they row. Benjamin looks at Ben and you.
You look good in that color. It stinks. It's at a dead man, then.
From the estate, the guests watch as the ship explodes. The pale woman standing beside Cornwallis.
Oh, fireworks, lovely.
He glares at her and Tavington guzzles his drink. Later, the militiamen are riding through a meadow into Anne's town. Children run toward the men. Anne looks out the window as Gabriel steps into the yard. She sets down her quill and rushes out of the room. Mr. Howard frowns, then looks at Gabriel as he enters.
Mr. Howard, I've come to call on Anne.
Mr. Howard holds up his finger, then puts his horn to his ear.
I've come to call on Anne.
Of course you call yourself a man.
Father, stop it. You heard him.
Gabriel turns to Anne and they smile at each other.
Well, call on her.
Mr. Howard smiles. Anne and Gabriel gaze at each other from across the room. Later, the Reverend is walking toward his church. Inside, Benjamin is kneeling in one of the pews, his head bowed in prayer. Moonlight filters through the window, and he raises his head and looks at the cross. Mrs. Howard is sewing.
Oh, nearly finished.
Gabriel's lying in a large cloth bag.
You needn't worry, Father.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I think bundling bags are a wonderful tradition. I don't mind in the least.
Mrs. Howard pokes him with a needle.
Still. Tea?
Please.
She finishes sewing him into the bag. She joins Mr. Howard in the doorway as Anne gets a cup of tea and sits beside Gabriel's bed. They look at her parents.
Come, dear.
They leave. Anne puts the cup up to Gabriel's mouth and he drinks.
It's very good.
His teeth and lips are black.
I'm pleased that you like it.
He grins. Mr. Howard places the cone end of a listening device against their door and the small end in his ear.
Peter, don't worry. I sew better than my mother did.
Mrs. Howard smiles as she braids her hair.
I hope so.
The sun is shining as Occam looks at a notice.
You're just gonna stand there. Why don't you read it for us?
I can't read.
I can't.
Dan walks over to the notice and pushes him aside.
It says, take notice. By order General George Washington and the Continental Congress, all bound slaves who give minimum 1 year service in the Continental Army will be granted freedom and be paid a bounty of 5 shillings for each month of service. Did you hear that? First they're going to free them, and then they're going to pay them.
Only another 6 months.
Dan looks at him.
What in the hell are you going to do with freedom?
Dan walks away. Occam looks at the notice and puts on his hat. Billings is holding a toy wooden gun.
I made this for you.
He gives it to his curly red-headed son, then picks him up and sets him in the back of the wagon. He takes his wife's hand.
Martha.
The wagon drives away and she follows it.
Look after your mother.
He watches them leave. Benjamin and Mr. Howard are standing beside another wagon that's being loaded with supplies.
You know, Peter, I can't pay you for this.
Benjamin, you pay me what you can when you can.
I'm obliged.
They look toward Gabriel and Anne.
Gabriel, sure reminds me a lot of you.
No. He's more like his mother.
They're gazing at each other.
Corporal, take your time.
Don't.
The Great Danes follow Benjamin. Gabriel and Anne are kissing. He walks away and she smiles. Her lips and teeth are black.
Sir?
Gabriel also smiles with blackened teeth, and Mr. Howard frowns. He looks at Anne and her smile fades. He looks back at Gabriel as he steps up onto a fence. Gabriel looks back at Anne, and they smile. He mounts his horse and glances back as he rides away. He rides past the militiamen and catches up with Benjamin in the lead. He smiles his blackened smile, and Benjamin does a double take. Later, two wagons and some redcoats are traveling down a road through tall grass. They pass through the grass, and Benjamin is standing in the road.
This road is closed. These wagons now belong to the Continental Army.
Ready, arm!
The redcoats raise their guns, and Benjamin whistles. The militiamen step out of their various hiding places, aiming their guns.
By twos!
The redcoats step apart. Tevington's watching through a telescope from the hillside.
Sergeant, there's no need for you and your men to die. Leave the wagons and go.
This is the King's Highway, and I advise you and your men to make way.
The covers are removed from the wagons, and many redcoats jump out and aim their guns. Benjamin looks up the hill where many dragoons are waiting. The militiamen fire and retreat as the redcoats fire. The dragoons ride down the hill. The militiamen take cover and fire at the soldiers. Benjamin shoots one and runs as the dragoons race toward them. Dan is shot and falls. Occam stops and drags him to safety as the redcoats advance. Benjamin shoots a dragoon as he runs to his horse. The militiamen ride away as the dragoons chase after them. Redcoats hiding in a field stand and shoot at a group of militiamen. Benjamin and the others stop. He glances back toward the approaching dragoons. The remaining few militiamen turn off the bridge and ride down through the creek. Some of the dragoons ride over the bridge, but Tevington stops. He watches the group of ambushed militiamen surrender. He looks down the creek as Benjamin and his group are riding away, and he raises his pistol. A militiaman falls into the water as Benjamin, Gabriel, and the others ride away. Campfires glow around Old Spanish Mission.
I have the count. 22 are dead, 18 wounded, and 20 are missing.
I'm through.
A militiaman puts on his hat.
You won't be the last to leave.
Trust me, soon my countrymen will arrive. The French army...
The hell with you. And the hell with the French army.
We don't need them. We got Benjamin Martin. We know what he done to the French.
Benjamin's sitting away from them and turns his back to them. Gabriel walks over to him as he places his lead melting tool in the fire. He sits and warms his hands.
Father, wherever you go, men buy you drinks because of what happened to Fort Wilderness. Strangers know more about you than I do.
Tell me what happened.
Your mother asked me that question around about the time you were born. I was drunk and foolish enough to answer it.
Benjamin places a toy soldier in the tool, then melts it over the fire. Gabriel stands and starts to leave.
The French and the Cherokee had raided along the Blue Ridge.
He turns back.
The English settlers had sought refuge at Fort Charles. By the time we got there, the fort was abandoned.
He sits.
But what we found was...
Go on.
They'd killed all the settlers. Men. With the women and... some of the children, they had...
He lowers his eyes.
We buried them all, what was left of them. We caught up with them at Fort Wilderness.
Benjamin is staring into the swamp.
We took our time. We cut them apart, slowly, piece by piece. I can see their faces. I can still hear their screams.
He lowers his eyes.
All but two, we let them live. We placed the heads on a pallet and sent them back with the two that lived to Fort Ambercon. The eyes, tongues, fingers, we put in baskets, sent them down the Ashlo to the Cherokee.
He stares at the cross headstone submerged in the water, then lowers his eyes again.
And not a day goes by where I don't ask God's forgiveness for what I did.
He picks up the melting tool, then looks at another toy soldier. Gabriel takes it.
Thomas was my brother, as well as your son. You may not believe this, but I want satisfaction as much as you did. Not at the expense of our cause. There will be a time for revenge. But until then, stay the course.
Later, the sun is shining as redcoats test their gallows. Three heavy bags drop through the floor. Across the yard, the captured militiamen watch from an outdoor cell made from thick tree branches. Billings turns away.
Reverend, can you write a letter for me? To my wife and boy.
Yes, of course I will. But first, let us pray.
The men gather around. A soldier in the fort's tower looks through his telescope as a rider carrying a white flag rides up the hill. The Great Danes are running beside Benjamin as he approaches the fort. Inside, Cornwallis is reading while a man shaves him.
My lord,
there is a rider at the gates. A civilian carrying a white flag.
I am occupied.
He has a pair of dogs with him. Great Danes.
He sets down his book.
And dear Lord, protect us in this our hour of need. This we ask in the name of the Father, the Son.
Holy Ghost.
The militiamen look at Benjamin. Inside.
Jupiter, Mars. Come, boys, come.
The dogs stare at Cornwallis.
Come.
Benjamin gestures, and they slowly approach Cornwallis.
Oh, my good boys, my brave boys.
Well, you seem to be well fed.
I thank you for that. I'm afraid I don't know your name.
I'm a colonel with the Continental Army. My rank should be sufficient for now.
As you wish. Please be seated.
Thank you.
You have in your possession certain belongings of mine, including clothing, furniture, personal effects of a non-military nature, which I'd like to have returned to me.
Indeed. I will do so as soon as possible.
Thank you. Now we come to the matter of the specific targeting of officers during engagements. Colonel, you must know that in civilized warfare, officers in the field must not be accorded inappropriate levels of hostile attention.
To your mind, what are appropriate levels of hostile attention?
Oh, Colonel, imagine the utter chaos that would follow from leaderless armies having at each other. There must be gentlemen in command to lead and where necessary, restrain their men.
Restrain them from, say, targeting civilians, women, children, and such.
That's a separate issue.
No. I consider them linked. And as long as your soldiers attack civilians, I will order the shooting of officers at the outset of every engagement.
They stare at each other.
And my men are excellent marksmen.
Very well. Now, let us move on to...
prisoner exchange.
Sir?
You have 18 of my men. I want them back.
The officer standing behind Cornwallis whispers to him, and Benjamin leans forward.
But I do have 18 criminals under sentence of death, but I hold no prisoners of war.
If that's your position, 18 of your officers will have to die. 19 if you hang me with my men.
My officers?
Benjamin takes the telescope from the desk, extends it, and goes to the window. Cornwallis goes to the window and takes the telescope.
Top of the ridge to your left. Just below the tree line.
He looks through the telescope and spots redcoats in a distant field surrounded by militiamen. He lowers the telescope.
Their names and ranks?
They refuse to give me their names, but their ranks are 9 lieutenants, 5 captains, 3 majors, and 1 very fat colonel who called me a cheeky fellow.
You know, this is not the conduct of a gentleman.
If the conduct of your officers is the measure of a gentleman, I'll take that as a compliment.
He retracts the telescope and turns to his officer.
Arrange the exchange.
My lord.
Thank you, sir.
Benjamin follows the officer and the dogs stand. He motions for them to stay, then leaves. The militiamen watch as Benjamin and the officer walk down the steps.
General, walk up!
Tavington and another dragoon ride into the fort. Benjamin and Tavington stare at each other as Benjamin walks toward the gate.
Release the prisoners!
The men are released and Tavington approaches the officer.
General, what is this?
Prisoner exchange.
He has 18 of our officers.
Who is he? I recognize him.
He's the commander of the militia. Your ghost.
See that sword, Colonel!
If you harm him, you condemn our officers.
General, with respect, sir, he's killed as many officers in the last 2 months.
He has shown no aggression here, hence he cannot be touched.
Has he not?
He walks toward Benjamin, who's walking out of the fort.
You! So you're the ghost, are you? I remember you, and that farm, that stupid little boy.
Benjamin stops. And Gabriel watches as he turns and looks at Tavington.
Did he die?
He walks toward Tavington.
You know, it's an ugly business doing one's duty. But just occasionally, it's a real pleasure.
Tavington smiles, and Benjamin glares at him.
Before this war's over, I'm going to kill you.
Tavington grips his sword.
Why wait?
Benjamin continues staring at him.
Soon.
He walks away. Cornwallis watches from an upstairs window as the militiamen ride away. Benjamin whistles and the dogs run out of the room. Cornwallis fumes as he watches them race out of the fort. Soldiers close the gate and Tevington glares. Occam is looking through a telescope as the militiamen ride away from the fort. The other militiamen are ready to execute scarecrows dressed in British uniforms. The militiamen run away. Later, the general carries one of the scarecrows into Cornwallis's office.
It's imperative to push northwards.
He looks up from a map and stares at the scarecrow.
One of our captured officers, my lord.
Later, he's wearing a fancy dress coat as he eats.
My reputation suffers because of your incompetence. That man insults me.
Quite impressive for a farmer with a pitchfork, wouldn't you say?
He glares at Tavington and motions for him to approach.
I want you to find that man. I want you to capture him.
The man has the loyalty of the people.
He steps away.
To protect him. Protect his family. Protect the families of his men. I can capture him for you. But to do so requires the use of tactics that are somewhat... Well, what was the word your lordship used? Brutal, I think.
Cornwallis glances over his shoulder and a servant leaves. Tavington walks over to a tray and picks up a glass and a decanter.
I am prepared to do what is necessary.
He pours a drink.
I alone will assume the full mantle of responsibility for my actions, free of the chain of command, rendering you blameless. However, if I do this, you and I both know that I can never return to England with honor.
Cornwallis turns toward him, and Tavington glances at his drink.
What, I wonder, is to become of me?
Cornwallis looks away, then stands. His long coat touches the floor as he walks over to a map.
When this war is over here in the colonies, the new aristocracy will be landowners.
He unrolls the map. Tavington approaches and looks at it.
Tell me about Ohio.
A plantation is blanketed in a light fog. Nathan is holding a musket while sitting in a rocking chair on the upstairs balcony. He looks into the darkness. Meg opens her eyes and rolls over in her bed. Nathan goes to the balcony railing as riders carrying torches approach. Meg's eyes are wide with fear as she watches from her window. Nathan runs into Charlotte's room.
Hey, Charlotte! Hey, Charlotte! Wake up! Someone's coming!
She looks out the window as the dragoons approach.
Get the boys.
She rushes into the girls' room and picks up Susan.
Margaret, come quickly. Let's go! Boys, come. Go.
She sets her down and follows the children downstairs. Nathan watches the dragoons, then follows.
Stay close.
Samuel and Charlotte look toward the front door as the dragoons ride into the yard.
This way.
They rush toward the back of the house as the dragoons walk up the steps. She shuts a door as they enter the house. She watches them through the window beside the door, then looks at Nathan.
Follow me.
They rush across the dining room and open another door.
We'll go downstairs to the kitchen.
They go down a ladder as the dragoons look around.
Margaret, quick, get down there, fast.
Charlotte helps her down the ladder as some of the dragoons go upstairs. Tavington looks toward the back of the house. Nathan sees a soldier outside the dining room window. He quickly shuts the door and dives under the long table as Tavington enters. Samuel climbs down the ladder and listens. From under the tablecloth, Nathan watches as Tavington's spurred boots walk past. Charlotte is holding Samuel, and they watch dust fall from the rafters as Tavington crosses the floor above them. He stops in front of the fireplace as Nathan continues to lie on the floor under the table. Meg is clutching a table leg in the kitchen. Tavington stops beside the table and touches a candle's wick. Nathan raises his gun and cocks it. Tavington looks down at the table, then walks back toward the door. A soldier peeks in the kitchen window, then walks away. Wilkinson stands in the dining room doorway.
There's no one in the house, sir.
We can't be far. Search the outbuildings in the woods. Quickly.
Yes, sir.
Tavington cocks his pistol and slowly crouches beside the table. He quickly raises the tablecloth and looks at the empty floor under the table. He lowers the tablecloth, stands, and leaves. Nathan is sitting on the floor on the other side of the table. He crawls back under the table. He gives his gun to Charlotte, then climbs down the ladder into the kitchen. The children crouch as they walk through the kitchen and Charlotte follows them up the back stairs. A dragoon rides past the house and they hide in some bushes as another rides past them. They run as slaves are led to the house.
This one's head of the house slave, sir.
They hide behind other bushes and watch.
There they're hiding.
Tavington shoots the slave. Someone sneaks up and Charlotte turns to Gabriel and Billings.
Abraham, where's Father?
They watch as the dragoons throw torches into the house. Benjamin rides into the driveway and rears his horse back on its hind legs. Tavington and Wilkins turn toward him as he shoots in the air and the militiamen ride behind him. He shoots again and Susan's lower lip trembles as she watches. Tavington smiles. Wilkins shoots towards Benjamin and the militiamen ride away with the dragoons in pursuit. Gabriel picks up Susan and Billings picks up William. The children run away with them as Charlotte stares at her burning house. She runs after the others as more dragoons ride away. Fire billows from the windows. It is daytime as Gabriel holds Susan's hand as they walk down a road.
They won't stop looking for us.
You'll be safe where we're taking you. My father said it was a perfect place to hide.
How is he?
William, Samuel, and Meg are riding horses.
I don't know. I'm his son.
Where is Father?
Gabriel looks at Susan.
Speaking for months now.
Speaking for months.
Why did he go?
Well, he didn't want those mean men to find you, so he led them away. He'll come and see you as soon as he can.
I hate him.
He stops and crouches in front of her.
Oh, Susan, you don't hate him.
I hate him, and I hope he never comes back.
She walks away, and Charlotte rushes after her. Later, they're walking along the beach toward several buildings. People of color watch as they enter their village with thatched roofs. Abigail is preparing food as she watches them approach.
It's the children.
She rushes forward.
Abigail!
William runs to her.
You're lying.
The others run to her and they hug. Later in the old Spanish mission...
She spoke. Susan talked to you?
Full sentences.
As if she'd been speaking all along.
Damn, I wasn't there for it. What did she say?
She said, that she loves you and misses you, but she understands why you can't be there with her.
My lord, she said that. Well, isn't that something?
Three men ride through the swamp, then the Reverend approaches Benjamin.
Tavington has a list of our men.
He's burning our homes, killing whomever resists.
Where?
7 homes along the Santee so far.
Billings rides across a meadow to the remains of a smoldering home. He stops and looks around. He dismounts as the militiamen approach. He runs across the yard and kneels beside the bodies of his wife and curly-haired son. He touches Martha. The toy wooden gun is lying beside his son. He clutches his head and glances heavenward. He pulls out his pistol and stands as the Reverend approaches.
John, this is not a time for vengeance. This is a time for mourning.
He paces as the men watch.
John.
He cries as the men watch. Then puts the pistol to his head. No! He collapses and the Reverend trembles as he kneels beside him. Benjamin lowers his head and looks at his men.
Attend to your families. 1 week furlough for all men. Any man who does not return will not be thought a coward or uncommitted.
Some of the men leave. Benjamin and Gabriel ride to the village on the beach. The children run toward them.
Papa! Meg!
Father!
He hugs them and Susan watches from a distance.
My God, they're huge. What have you been feeding them?
They're from good stock on their father's side.
Thank you.
He looks at Susan, then slowly walks toward her.
Susan?
He holds out his arms to her. She stares at him, then turns and runs away. He stops and frowns. Later, Gabriel watches Benjamin spearfishing with his brothers and some village boys.
I got him!
He walks closer and sits down as Benjamin cleans his knife in the water. He looks at Gabriel.
Father, what changed you?
Are you sure I have?
Yes. You changed.
He's holding an apple as he sits beside Gabriel.
Well, that's simple. Where's your mother?
He cuts the apple and Gabriel smiles.
A woman can have a strange effect on a man.
Yeah. There were times I had trouble breathing around your mother.
I know the feeling.
He grins as he looks at Gabriel.
You once said, when I had a family of my own, that I'd understand. You were right.
You're trying to tell me something.
Gabriel looks toward an approaching wagon and smiles. Mr. Howard waves as he approaches with Anne and his wife. Benjamin cuts the apple.
Apple.
Thank you.
They eat as they watch the Howards ride closer.
Congratulations.
Later.
Anne, Patricia Howard, will you have this man to be your husband to live in the covenant of marriage? Will you love, comfort, and honor him for so long as you both shall live?
I will.
Gabriel Edward Martin, will you have this woman to be your wife, to live together in the covenant of marriage? Will you love, comfort, and honor her for so long as you both shall live?
I will.
Then by the power vested in me by our mutual faith in the Lord our God, I now pronounce you man and wife.
Gabriel leans forward and kisses Anne. They smile at each other, then people congratulate them. Later on the beach, Gabriel's holding Susan as he dances with her. He watches as Anne walks over to Benjamin.
I'm sorry we didn't give you more warning.
It's fine. I have something for you.
He removes a necklace from his pocket.
It belonged to Gabriel's mother.
It's beautiful.
Follow me.
She turns and he ties it around her neck.
It's the North Star. That's the only star in the sky that never moves. It's constant, unwavering. A guide.
She turns to him and smiles.
I'd be honored.
Gabriel watches as Benjamin kisses her cheek, then he steps forward.
May I?
You must.
I must.
He leads her away. Benjamin turns away, looks around, then walks toward the water. He approaches Charlotte, who's sitting on a blanket on the beach.
May I sit with you?
It's a free country.
He sits.
Or at least it will be.
The waves roll on shore. He stares up at the sky and she watches him.
I'm not my sister.
He looks at her.
I know that.
Do you?
He glances away.
Yes, I do.
Very well, then.
She looks away, then looks at him again.
Well?
Well, what?
She glances away. He grabs her behind the neck, and she looks at him. They kiss as the waves continue to roll ashore. Later, Gabriel's resting his forehead against Anne's.
I'll see you in Pembroke soon.
Not soon enough.
They kiss.
Nathan, you know I'm counting on you now to make absolutely sure that... What?
Say my prayers and take care.
Couldn't have said it better.
Benjamin goes to Charlotte.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
They kiss, and Meg looks at Nathan and giggles. Benjamin glances at them, then kneels in front of Susan.
Goodbye, Susan. Goodbye.
She stares at him.
Just one word, it's all I want.
Charlotte and the children watch. He reaches out and Susan backs away. He folds his arms across his chest and nods.
All right.
He stands, then walks away. Anne is crying. Gabriel and Benjamin start to ride away, and Susan steps forward. She cries as she watches them leave.
Papa!
They stop and turn.
Papa, I'm going to say anything!
Benjamin jumps off his horse and they run to each other.
Papa!
He kneels and hugs her.
I'll say anything you want. Tell me what you want me to say. I'll say anything you want me to say. I promise, Papa, please don't
Susan,
go.
Susan, I promise. I'll come back. I'll come back. You believe me?
Tears roll down her cheeks and she nods.
You know, you make me very happy.
He hugs her again and looks towards Charlotte, who is crying. He kisses Susan's cheek and rocks her in his arms. Later, Benjamin and Gabriel ride into the old Spanish mission and Dan Scott approaches. They sit at Benjamin's usual campfire.
Just the three of us?
John Raskin did come by earlier. He looked around, then he left. He would have made four.
Four would have been better.
Dan puts on his tricorn. He turns and they watch a boat approaching through the swamp beyond the cross. more boats with more men approach. Gabriel turns as others ride into camp. Benjamin stands and waves, and the Reverend nods. Occam gets out of the first boat, and the Reverend approaches.
Cardinal.
Reverend.
Villeneuve approaches.
Trust the French.
Yes, trust the French. Where else do I get the opportunity to kill a few redcoats? Perhaps a few wounded ones when you're not looking?
They smile. Anne's riding with her parents in their wagon as they enter Pembroke. The dragoons watch as the people walk toward the church. Wilkins approaches the Howards' wagon.
Everyone's been requested to gather at the church.
Mr. Wilkins?
Colonel Tavington wishes to address the whole village.
Mr. Howard frowns. The people have gathered in the church. Anne frowns as Tavington rides his horse inside. He looks around as he removes his tall black hat.
This town has given aid to Benjamin Martin and his rebels. I wish to know his whereabouts. So, anyone who comes forward may be forgiven their treason.
A man wearing a wig glances around.
Very well. You had your chance.
He steps forward.
Wait! This man gives Martin and his men supplies.
Quiet!
He brings them to Black Swan.
He's a liar!
You damn
in the marsh
fool.
By the old Spanish mission.
And stares at Tavington.
Thank you very much.
Tavington puts on his hat.
Shut the doors.
He rides outside and the snitch steps forward.
But you said we'd be forgiven.
And indeed you may! That's between you and God.
Soldiers shut the doors and he tries to open them. He turns and looks at the others. Tavington approaches Wilkins.
Ready to fire the town on your order, sir.
The town? Burn the church.
Wilkins stares at him.
There's no honor in this. Didn't you say all those who stand against England deserve to die a traitor's death? Burn the church, Captain.
He rides away. Wilkins looks at the soldiers watching him.
Give me the torch.
Wilkins takes the torch, then stares at the church as he slowly rides forward. He stares up at the bell tower. Tavington watches as Wilkins throws the torch onto the porch roof. Soldiers close the shutters on the outside as smoke creeps inside under the doors. Men try to open the doors.
Remain calm.
They pound on the doors. Wilkins stares at Tavington.
The honor is found in the end, not the means. This will be forgotten. Morton?
Tavington rides away as flames burn up the side of the church. Inside, a man tries to break through the shutters with a candelabra. Anne is crying and her mother holds her face as she tries to calm her. The soldiers get in formation and march through the town as fire spreads throughout the church, sending billowing black smoke into the air. Wilkins stares blankly at the church as the soldiers march out of Pembroke in pairs. Later, the sun is shining as the militiamen are riding. They stop and stare, look around, then ride into Pembroke where black smoke is billowing into the air. Gabriel stops at the Howard home and rushes inside as the remainder of the church burns.
Anne!
Benjamin looks around as he walks toward the church.
They're not here.
Benjamin stares at the locked chain on the church doors. Later, a cross necklace hangs from a white wooden cross grave marker. Dan ties a scarf to it. More crosses mark other graves. Benjamin looks through the ashes of the church. He picks up Anne's North Star necklace with its burned ribbon. He turns and walks toward Villeneuve, Occam, and others.
Gabriel's gone.
Gabriel and other militiamen are riding hard.
Yeah!
He's holding his pistol as they ride past the burning roadside tavern. Tavington is crouching at the creek as he shaves. Borden watches the militiamen approach.
To arms! To arms!
Tavington stands and watches them approach. The redcoats fire and they shoot back. Tavington runs to his horse as Gabriel dismounts. He aims his musket and shoots at him. Tavington grabs his pistols and shoots a militiaman, then shoots another. Gabriel runs toward Tavington, who draws his sword. Gabriel fights with Borden, and Tavington fights a militiaman. Gabriel continues to fight as Tavington slices the militiaman. The Reverend reloads as Tavington tosses down his sword and draws his pistol. The Reverend runs to help Gabriel, who draws a knife from his boot. The Reverend hits Borden on the head and Gabriel stabs him. Tavington finishes reloading and the Reverend turns to him. They aim. And the Reverend falls. Gabriel stares at Tavington as the Reverend drops to his knees. Tavington reloads as the Reverend tosses his musket to Gabriel. They aim. Tavington drops his pistol as he falls face down. Gabriel drops the gun, then walks over to Borden and removes his knife. He stares at Tavington's back as he slowly walks toward him. He stops and stares down at him as he grips his knife. He clenches his jaw, then lunges as Tavington turns and stabs him with his sword. They stare at each other as Gabriel gasps for air. Tavington relaxes as Gabriel's face distorts with pain. He falls backward and Tavington removes his sword as he stands. He wipes the blade on his pant leg, then runs away. Benjamin rides over the ridge of the hill and stops as he looks below. He rides into the Dragoon camp, where Gabriel is clutching his wound. He kneels beside Gabriel as the other militiamen approach.
Father. Shh. Don't talk.
Dan steps closer, and Villeneuve looks at Occam, who lowers his head.
I'm sorry.
Be quiet. I'll take care of you. You'll be all right.
Father. I'm sorry about Thomas.
Benjamin glances away.
Oh, son, that wasn't your fault. That was mine.
He touches Gabriel's face.
Hold on. You're going to be all right. You're... Don't go. Gabriel, don't.
Gabriel stares heavenward, then goes limp. Benjamin fights back his tears as Villeneuve watches. Benjamin sits back on the ground and looks at Gabriel. Tears fill his eyes, and he looks away.
Oh, God, help me. God, help me.
He looks at Gabriel and cries. Campfires burn in the Continental Army camp, while soldiers walk around the tents. Colonel Burwell rides through the camp, then dismounts near the militiamen. He enters a tent where Gabriel's lying on a cot and Benjamin's sitting beside him.
I helped you bury him.
I'll bury him.
My wife in Alexandria is with child. My first. I fight for that child. Benjamin, nothing will replace your sons. But if you come with us, you can justify their sacrifice.
Why? Why do men feel they can justify death? Is it arrogance? I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me. And the cost is more than I can bear.
Benjamin, we have a chance. If we win this next battle, victory in the war is within our grasp.
Go then, seek your victory. I'm smallish you to it.
You're wrong, Benjamin. You matter to your men, and to others as well. Your victories and your losses are shared by more than you know. Stay with us. Stay the course.
He slowly turns and looks at Burwell.
I have run my course.
He turns back and laces his fingers together. Later, he's standing in front of Gabriel's grave that is marked by a wood cross under a large tree. He picks up Gabriel's bags and goes to his horse. He hangs them from the saddle horn. The mended flag is protruding from the bigger bag, and Benjamin removes it. He tenderly touches one of Gabriel's patches and stares deep in thought. Later, the Continental Army is moving through a meadow, and the militiamen are riding with them. Burwell looks around as he rides beside Villeneuve. He watches as the colonial flag moves toward them.
Jean.
Villeneuve stares in amazement as Benjamin rides toward them with the flag attached to a pole. Dan and Occam turn and watch. Benjamin rides past the cheering soldiers. The mended colonial flag waves proudly as he rides toward the front of the troops. The militiamen raise their guns and hats as he rides past. He slows down and rides beside Villeneuve and Burwell. Villeneuve nods and Burwell watches him. Later in camp, several officers are gathered around a map.
Tomorrow's battle can alter the course of the war. General Green, what exactly is the task before us?
Gentlemen, Cornwallis has us cornered. Not only does he outnumber us, but nearly half of our force is militia. Unreliable at best.
Excuse me, sir.
Benjamin steps forward.
I believe you underestimate our militia. All of you do.
We've seen our militia lines break time and again. Kipps Bay, Princeton.
But the British have seen that, too. Cornwallis's own letters bear out that he has no respect for the militia, none whatsoever.
What are you suggesting, Ben?
I'm suggesting we use that.
The remains of a mansion loom against the early morning sky as fog rolls across an open field. Benjamin opens Thomas's pouch and removes the last toy soldier. He looks at the empty pouch, then places the toy soldier in the melting tool. He lays it in the campfire and watches it melt. Burwell is wearing his battle helmet as he sits on his horse. The French flag is flying outside a tent. Villeneuve is wearing his French uniform as he steps outside. He looks at the flag, then puts on his hat. Benjamin snips a rough edge from his lead shot, looks at it, then puts it in his leather pouch. He picks up his musket as he stands, then stares at Villeneuve. He looks at Benjamin, who glances away, trying to conceal a smile.
If I die, I will die well dressed.
Villeneuve waves as he walks away, and Benjamin nods. The sun is shining brightly as blood drips down the cheek of a wounded Continental soldier. A colonial flag waves in the air. The army and militiamen leave their camp behind as they cross an open field. Benjamin, Burwell, and Villeneuve ride to their front line. They crest a hill and see many rows of redcoats approaching. A cannonball lands nearby and they stop near the charred remains of the mansion. The redcoats fire their cannons as their soldiers advance. Cornwallis looks through his telescope. Benjamin, Burwell, and Villeneuve are looking across the field at the redcoats.
Harry, will you give this to my children?
Burwell takes the letter and puts it in his jacket. A coiled serpent flag waves behind Benjamin.
Thank you.
The militiamen stand ready with guns at their sides. Dan is standing beside Occam.
It's October now.
I know.
It's more than 12 months. You're a free man.
I'm here now on my own accord.
Dan looks at him.
I'm honored to have you with us.
Occam looks at Dan.
Honored.
Shoulder!
Villeneuve draws his sword as he and Benjamin stand with the front line.
Forward! March!
They march, and the colonial flag waves.
How old were your daughters?
Violette was 12 and Pauline 10. They have green eyes.
I'm sure they were lovely.
Yes, they were.
They march onward.
Battalion!
The British Army marches forward as their various flags wave. Cornwallis looks through his telescope.
Unless I'm dreaming, I believe I see militia forming at their center.
The general looks through his telescope. The militiamen march toward the many lines of redcoat troops.
Battalion!
The militiamen stop. Sunlight glares off the redcoats' bayonets and they march onward. Benjamin takes a deep breath as artillery smoke drifts toward them. The militia takes one step forward.
MacRunners!
They raise their guns. The redcoats stop.
Take it!
The militia aim.
Fire!
The redcoats fall and the militia reload.
Fire!
The redcoats shoot and militiamen fall. Others shoot and more militiamen fall. The cannonball rolls toward them, and a militiaman runs.
Hold on!
Through a telescope, Tavington spots Benjamin. He tosses it down and draws his sword.
Prepare to charge!
Sir, we haven't been given that order.
He glances at Wilkins.
Charge! Charge!
The dragoons race toward the battle line as Cornwallis and the general watch.
Tavington.
Damn him! Damn that man!
Benjamin looks toward the charging dragoons.
Take it!
Redcoats drop.
Retreat!
The militiamen retreat.
Bandit charge. We'll see who takes the glory from this field.
The redcoats chase after the militiamen. The Continental soldiers stand firm and fight as the militiamen continue retreating. Heavy artillery takes out more militiamen. Through his telescope, Cornwallis watches the mass retreat of the militiamen.
Congratulations, my lord.
Infantry reserve into the center.
But, my lord, you've taken the field.
Now we shall take their spirits. Send the entire battalion over that hill and crush them. It ends today.
Benjamin glances over his shoulder as British soldiers and their dragoons chase the militiamen over the hill where more Continental soldiers are waiting. The militiamen lie down in front of their new front line and make ready. Tavington stops.
Hold the charge! Fire! Hold the charge!
Redcoats fall and the Continental cannons fire.
Fire! Fire! Take it!
The militia aims.
Fire!
More redcoats fall. The militia charges back up the hill. Villeneuve runs up the hill as the armies conduct hand-to-hand combat. Benjamin shoots a redcoat. The Continental Army charges up the hill and stops as the remaining British crest the hill. Some of the British run through the remains of the mansion and the army stop. The Redcoats aim. Continental soldiers fall. Both armies charge and fight hand to hand. Villeneuve kills a Redcoat. Benjamin runs toward Tavington. Villeneuve watches as some of the militia retreat. Benjamin looks toward the retreating men, then glances toward Tavington. He races toward his retreating men.
Wait! No retreat!
He grabs the colonial flag from a soldier and races up the hill. Villeneuve follows him.
Hold the line!
Tavington chases after him. He yells as he runs through the retreating men. Burwell watches.
Push forward, men!
The Continental soldiers and militiamen turn and rush up the hill. Benjamin charges into a Redcoat, knocking him down. He runs up the stairs of the mansion and hits a Redcoat with a flagpole. He waves the flag and Villeneuve cheers. Occam and the Continental soldiers race through the mansion and charge toward another line of Redcoats. Benjamin shoots one and the soldiers fight hand to hand.
Artillery, concentrate on the center. Drive them back.
British cannons fire and the hand-to-hand combat continues. Redcoats begin retreating.
My lord, if we reform and wheel right, we may be able to turn their flank.
You dream, General.
Tavington rides into the open field and stops. He and Benjamin look toward each other. Benjamin's holding the flag like a spear as he runs forward. Tavington extends his sword as he rides toward him. Benjamin kneels and stabs Tavington's horse. Tavington flies off and lands on the ground. Benjamin draws his pistol as Tavington stands. Benjamin takes out a lead shot and looks at it. He glances at Tavington, who looks around and spots him. Benjamin loads his pistol and aims. Artillery explodes behind him as he fires. Tavington grabs his shoulder, then looks at Benjamin. He races forward with his sword drawn. Benjamin clutches his hatchet and they fight hand to hand. The soldiers fight all around them. Tavington punches Benjamin, then cuts his arm. Benjamin touches his arm as Tavington picks up a bayonet. Benjamin takes out his knife and they face each other again. Tavington lunges and Benjamin slashes at him. They push against each other. Tavington slices Benjamin across his back. Benjamin holds up his hatchet as Tavington swings his sword. In slow motion, he knocks the hatchet out of Benjamin's hand. Benjamin picks up a bayonet musket as Tavington cuts him again. Benjamin drops to his knees, and Tavington slowly walks up behind him. Benjamin watches as the Continental soldiers and militiamen charge toward the retreating British. A soldier waves the colonial flag, and Benjamin stares at it. Tavington glances at the flag, then looks at Benjamin's back.
Kill me before the war is over, will you? It appears you are not the better man.
Again in slow motion, Tavington steps forward as he swings his sword at Benjamin's neck. He ducks and stabs Tavington with the musket's bayonet.
You're right.
Benjamin picks up a loose bayonet as he stands.
My sons were better men.
He stabs Tavington in the throat. Tavington's eyes widen, and Benjamin drops the bayonet. Tavington's lifeless body is propped against a musket as Benjamin turns and watches the British retreat. Cornwallis watches his defeat, then glances at the general.
Sign the retreat.
He rides away.
Sound! Retreat!
Benjamin watches as the men cheer and the British retreat. Burwell and Villeneuve look back at him and smile.
Dear Charlotte, the war has turned. General Cornwallis took flight with his army and moved north. We continued to engage the British, and in the months that followed, Cornwallis entrenched himself at Yorktown, Virginia.
Yorktown, 1781.
George Washington escaped from the north undetected and surrounded Cornwallis, who could not retreat to the seas. It was blocked off by our long-lost friends, who had finally arrived.
Benjamin watches as the French ships fire upon the British in Yorktown.
Vive la France.
He smiles at Villeneuve.
Vive la liberté.
The French ships fire at the redcoats. A mansion is in shambles. Inside the crumbling walls, the general approaches Cornwallis.
My lord, I beseech you. You must order the surrender.
How could it come to this? An army of rabble. Peasants. Everything will change. Everything has changed.
Though he eventually surrendered, Cornwallis himself hid in shame, appointing his subordinate to relinquish his sword. With the war ending and our militia disbanding, I take measure of what we have lost and what we have won. My hope and prayer is that the sacrifices borne by so many will spawn and fulfill the promise of our new nation. Tell the children, and especially Susan, that I will keep my promise, as I will be returning to you all soon.
Susan smiles at Charlotte, who folds the letter. Benjamin faces Burwell.
Where will you go now?
Home? Start over?
Your wife's expecting a child soon, isn't she?
She gave birth to a son 3 weeks ago.
Ah. What'd you name him?
Villeneuve looks at Burwell.
We named him Gabriel.
Benjamin nods, then shakes his hand.
Thank you, Harry.
Burwell walks away.
Gabriel, it's a good name for a farmer.
It is.
John? Ben.
They start to shake hands, then hug.
Bonne chance. Toi aussi, mon.
Benjamin walks away, and Villeneuve nods as he watches him ride away. Later, Benjamin is driving a wagon with Charlotte and the children. The Great Danes run beside it. He stops the wagon and they stare. The frame of a new house stands where their old one was, and they drive through the gates toward it. Dan Occam and other militiamen are working as Benjamin gets out of the wagon and approaches. Dan and Occam step forward. Charlotte is holding a baby, and Benjamin looks at Occam.
Gabriel said if we won the war, we could build a whole new world. Just figured we'd get started right here. With your home.
Nathan smiles.
Sounds good.
Benjamin shakes Occam's hand, and Susan smiles.
Thank you.
He shakes hands with Dan, and Occam tips his hat to Charlotte. Some of the men are cutting lumber, as others are framing the house. Benjamin, Charlotte, and the children walk through the old white picket fence that surrounds their new home. Narrative script written by Julie Meyer. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Susan Crane. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.
Thank you.